And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest podcasts, interviews, all the pictures, news, all that stuff is at SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. It's at Sean Green Show. And if you want to stalk me on Facebook, you most certainly can. It's Sean Green Show Media. If you want to check me out there on Facebook, I'm a Facebook god. So make sure you check me out there on Facebook. Well, we got a jam-packed show today, so I'm going to get straight to the point. You know what? Everybody has had that dream of, you know, quitting their job and going into business for themselves. And I know I had that thought. I hope nobody in management is listening right now. But I had that dream. I'm quite sure you probably had that dream as well. But we're going to talk to somebody right now who actually did that. Brian Sloan, he's the creator of the Auto Blow 2, and we're going to talk to him about Slap Happy. But this guy, you know, he's from Skokie, so he's a hometown guy. He was a lawyer, and he quit his job and just went to China and started his own sex toy business. So I'm going to bring him on right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Brian Sloan, creator of Auto Blow 2 and the Slap Happy. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. I mean, good evening.
Oh, it's cool, man. It's probably morning where you're at right now. So
it is. It just got up.
So tell me this. All right, you're a lawyer, and you just said, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and just leave and start selling sex toys. Was that something you always thought about doing it, or was this something where you sat there and you were like, you know what, this lawyer stuff isn't working for me, so I'm going to go ahead and just go out and do this on my own? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's a long story, but to make it very short, when I was in law school, I started going to antique auctions. This was in South Central Pennsylvania. So I was buying antiques and selling them on eBay.
Okay.
And basically, during the 3 years of law school, I just realized that I felt really limited. If I were to work as a lawyer, that I couldn't reach really my potential. Right.
Okay.
So after law school, I started buying and selling everything from bankruptcy auctions, you know, like those auctions you read about in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I also was buying and selling antiques, and it just led to sex toys. I actually had no interest at first in selling sex toys, but when I used to be a full-time eBay seller, there was a category on there of latex fetish wear. And I just saw that there weren't many sellers in the latex fetish wear category, and so I started importing latex it's like rubber suits and body bags people get trapped in and, I don't know, tortured. I used to sell them on eBay. And the more I learned about... Say again?
No, it's like the whole BDSM thing that everybody's into now because it is all this whole 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Exactly. Except that, the latex fetishes are a little more extreme than the 50 Shades thing. But it just got me... to understand what was happening in the adult toy kind of world. And so after I made a brand of that latex fetish wear after selling pretty much everything else, then I decided to just go full on in the adult toy business.
Right. It's all about supply and demand. If there's a high demand and no supply, you're going to be a rich guy. So
pretty much.
So, all right. So, you went into doing this. What was like the first like sex toy you ever created? I mean, what made you say, all right, I can sell this. I can go on to create this.
Well, to be honest, you know, the way I started with sex toys was not creating them from scratch as I've done now. It's called OEM. It's going to factories in China. The factories already make certain products. They have a catalog of all their products. Then you can pick from which factories what you like, and then you can brand it any way you want. So I didn't actually need to invent anything at first. I just needed to find products that were already made and then brand them with my own branding and packaging and sell them. So the first one that I really did, though, as a toy, was the original Auto Blow, which was made somewhere at a factory, and it was called something ridiculous. And I said, wow, that's not a whatever ridiculous thing they call it. That's an oral sex machine, you know? Uh-huh. So it was like a branding exercise at first. That was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Wow. Now, I got a two-part question for you. Now, you're from Chicago, You moved to China, and, you know, here back in the States, you know, you listen to, you know, conservative talk radio or just, on the news in general, and the total consensus is, you know, China is bad to do business with China. We're kind of forced to do business with China because we owe China all this money. You actually going in, actually able to do business, is that contrary to what everybody's saying? And as far as the language barrier, how did you break that? I mean, did you learn a language and then go there? Did you know a lot of people that just knew, you know, how to do business with you?
Yeah. First thing is about like doing business with China. There's not like a China to do business with. There's individuals here that people do business with, like factories. That's like a totally absurd thing to say. When I see that in the newspapers or politicians running their mouth on TV about doing business with China, it's ridiculous. Everything that Americans use on a daily basis, probably 80% of the things that they use, 80% of the things in their house are made in China. It is the only place in the world that can make you the plastic stuff that you use. It's the only place that can make you tables at reasonable prices. It's the only place where you can get pretty much, look around your house. I'll bet you 80% of the stuff is made here, which is normal. That's how trade works. And it's inexpensive. People want to pay, you know, $3 for their plastic bucket that they carry water around. They don't want to pay $10. So they end up buying from Walmart, and Walmart makes all their things here, basically. So it's kind of just a lot of hot air because everything that people use is made here. About the language barrier, actually, I did learn Chinese when I came here. My Chinese isn't amazing, but it's functional. But that's not actually – maybe people think it's difficult because it sounds like so different than English. You know, but in reality, actually, the grammar rules of Chinese are really simple. You don't even have to conjugate verbs. You know, like if you learn Spanish or Italian or French or something, you need to learn like all the words to say has been there, will go, thinking about going, all these kind of things. In Chinese, the grammar is really, really simple. So although it sounds very foreign, it's actually not that difficult of a language to learn.
All right. Now, you have a new product called Slap Happy. Tell me about Slap Happy and how did you come up with that concept?
Yeah, so Slap Happy... It's a vibrator, but it's a vibrator that you're able to change the shape of. I mean, it has a flexible part of the inside. So, and you can spank with it. The idea came up because as I've been making women's toys, I make a lot of different vibrators. I have another brand of women's toys called Ladygasm. So, the thing is that women need to buy all kinds of different toys to give themselves different sensations, right? So then I just started to think, like, wow, what if I could really start thinking about how to build, like, the master vibrator that can do everything women would want it to do by bending or changing its shape in some way. So that's something I just started thinking about for you know, a few years. Like, and then finally I ended up making Slap Happy. I ended up crowdfunding it on Indiegogo.
Right. And as far as testing these things, I mean what's the take me through that process when you actually test these products, you know, when it's, you know, in concept form, then you guys, you know, finally say, okay, we're going to put this in mass production to sell to the masses.
Yeah. I think people ask me a lot, oh, do you test your stuff? Like, how do you test it? And to be totally honest, there's far less testing. It's a far less sexy business than people would think. The human body is not a total mystery, especially the female body. Something needs to vibrate, and needs to vibrate strongly enough to feel good, and the rest is kind of in the appearance and in the marketing. So, I use the product with a woman. But the people who really develop the product at the factory level, in the R&D department, these are guys who have probably not been laid in years, and they are far too shy to use such products with their wives.
Oh, wow.
If they have them. So that's maybe a little unusual, but no, it didn't need that much testing. If you know what you're doing, you know what you're trying to build, it doesn't need to be like really super tested before, you know, you produce it.
And there you have it. Brian Sloan. He's the creator of the Auto Blow 2, the Slap Happy. Make sure you guys check this out. You can go to autoblow2.com. You can go to slaphappy.com, ladygasm.com, mangasm.com. Let'sgasm.com. Everybody's going to have a gasm. So make sure you check out all those websites. Also on Twitter, it's at AutoBlow2 if you want to check that stuff out too. Dude, you're coming up on something like very innovative. And I think I'm going to buy one of these Slap Happies from a girl. And we're going to go ahead and check this out at home. And I'll probably give you a call back in a month and let you know how it turned out.
I hope the relationship was improved and not ruined. Because you can slap too hard, you know.
Yeah, I'll try not to slap it too hard, man. Well, thanks for being on the show. I highly appreciate it, man. We'll be back right after this.